It would have been a number of individuals, again, in the finance area. It would have been in December of 2009. It would have been the my group with, or individuals in my group with input about the actual implementation of the RNA. In December of 2009, we would have had input from the president and chief operating officer. So those are the names that would come to mind right away.
And that was for December 2009. Who made the decision for, or who had input into making the decision for this case?
And I would say for this case, the same individuals. I also, at this time, report to Luann Gudermuth, who is senior vice president and chief HR, human resources officer. And so is my boss. She would have also been involved in the decision making.
So it's your boss, some financial executives. Is that correct?
Yes, as I reflect on the internal process, yes, and of course we always have very substantial input from the lawyers in the general counsel's office.
Okay, at page 2 of your testimony, you mentioned that you were also a witness in formal case 1093 before this commission. Is that right?
Yes, I was.
The proposed RNA was not part of the company's filing in formal case 1093, was it?
No, it was not.
And the company concluded at that time that, at the time that it filed formal case 1093, that it no longer needed to seek approval of the RNA. Is that correct?
No, I wouldn't characterize it in that way. We simply decided that that was not the appropriate case to include an RNA proposal.
Excuse me. The company was not under any constraint that prohibited it from proposing the RNA at that time, was it?
As I recall, we were not. It was simply a matter of strategy for the case and, frankly, our effort. Again, as I recall, our discussions around putting together that case, it was around trying to simplify the case and streamline it. So it's not that we had abandoned our request for an RNA or abandon our view that that is sound regulatory policy. It simply was not the right proceeding.
Was it the same group of executives that was involved in the decision not to file the RNA as was involved in the decision to file the RNA?
I can't confirm that with any certainty because, of course, from time to time we do have reorganizations within Washington Gas, but I would say generally it was the same group of individuals. There certainly was a core group of individuals within finance, within my group, and within OGC.
Okay. Please refer to page 8 of your testimony.
Yes.
Okay. At lines 2 to 3, you state that the RNA removes the disincentives for utilities to promote conservation. Do you
see
that?
Yes, I do.
You are familiar with the DC Sustainable Energy Utility, also known as the SEU.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
And the SEU was formed around 2011, was it not?
Yes.
The SEU is in charge of the development of energy conservation programs in the district. Isn't that correct?
It is.
And isn't it correct that Washington Gas no longer requires incentives to promote its own conservation programs?
It is correct that the SEU actually is responsible for developing and administering energy conservation programs. The statement on my testimony beginning at line 1, and that entire sentence really is designed to reflect a general rationale that's been offered around the country over many years in support of and in justification for or justification of use of RNAs. So it's a general statement, but it is true we no longer offer those programs. They're offered through the SEU.
Okay, so if I understand your statement correctly, that it is a general justification, it's not specific to the jurisdiction. This is more of a general.
It's more of a
theory.
General.
Is that correct?
Exactly, more of a general statement about you about again the rationale that has been used by utilities and by others in support of implementation of RNA mechanisms.
Okay, and during the test year, Washington Gas did not operate any energy conservation programs in the district, did it?
No. Again, all the programs are administered and implemented through the SEU.
Washington Gas is on the board of directors of the SEU, isn't it not?
We have a seat on the advisory board, and our representative, as far as I know, attends most, if not all, of the SEU advisory board meetings.
And that representative would be Ms. Bernice McIntyre, is that correct?
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
Does she report, does Ms. McIntyre report to you?
No, she does not.
You mentioned that you report to Ms. Guttermuth a couple, is that, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Guttermuth.
Guttermuth.
Yes.
A few minutes ago. Do you report to anybody else?
No, I report directly to her.
And who does she report to?
And she reports to the president and chief operating officer.
Please turn back to your testimony on page 8.
Yes.
This is where you began your discussion of the corporate scorecard, is that correct?
Yes.
You amended your testimony on October 6th to change the phrase Washington Gas's corporate scorecard on line 22 to WGL Holdings corporate scorecard. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
So the change signifies that the scorecard goals are developed by the holding company and not by its subsidiary. Is that correct?
Yes. And I think that I made clear in other parts of my testimony, perhaps in discovery, that the scorecard is a holding company scorecard, but I did think it was appropriate to make perfectly clear and acknowledge that the scorecard is a holding company scorecard. It applies to Washington Gas primarily, but it is a holding company scorecard.
So does it also apply to Washington Gas's, or to the holding company's other subsidiaries?
There are measures that are applicable to the entire holding company, to affiliates of the holding company, and there are measures that apply only to Washington Gas. And that level of transparency is in my rebuttal exhibit. But again, the changes to my direct and, frankly, the rebuttal exhibit were designed to provide clarity and transparency about what the scorecard represented, what it contains, and what measures apply to the holding company and what measures apply to the utility only, to Washington Gas only.
Are you involved in setting the goals on the scorecard?
I would say that as a leader within the company, I am involved in providing input, as are the other leaders of the company. And so I don't make the final decision on what measures go into the scorecard, but I certainly am involved in discussions about the measures and about what the goals should be.
Who does set the goals in the corporate scorecard?
Ultimately, the final approval for the goals and the measures themselves is provided by the board.
And does the board get a draft from who in the company prepares it in the first instance before it goes to the board for approval?
I don't have a specific name, but I understand the process is that the there are draft documents that may be produced as a result of input that is provided by senior leaders like me. And again, some of that was provided to the parties in discovery. And ultimately, the board makes the final decision.